so much fun on a radio show.
Fun within prescribed limits.
Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios.
The government and parents everywhere, they tried to ban it.
This is the George Plaster Show.
He's a fine man.
He's a great broadcaster.
Brought to you by Bart Durham Injury Law. Call George now at 615-844-5600 and online at WNSR.com.
He's a very powerful guy.
And now, here's the man, the myth, the legend, George Plaster.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome into the show on a beautiful, sunny Wednesday afternoon in Nashville, Tennessee, where before we ever get on the air, I've screwed up. I put it out on Twitter. Scott Ramsey, executive director, Nashville Sports Council, Music City Bowl. He'll be with us from 3 to 4. But clearly, when I look back at a text exchange a week ago, he very clearly said, I'll be here 2 to 3. So apparently I can't read. Scott, say hello very quickly.
Hello.
And then
George,
get back
thanks
to,
for having me.
Yes,
at the appropriate time.
And then get back to your homework assignment.
I do. This is like a test.
Yeah.
I feel like, man,
you're back in.
I should have brought my books.
No cheating. Let's say hello very quickly to Watson Brown, who joins us from up on the plateau. Watson, how are you?
George, doing great. Welcome, Scott. It's just normal, babe, that things like this happen. So just
flexibility is a key, isn't it, Watson? Flexibility.
Roll. Flexibility, babe. Just roll with the flow. I'm telling you, we do this every day, so don't you feel too bad.
And then there's Terry McCormick joining us from Portland, Tennessee. Terry, how's rehab going?
Well, I got another physical therapy session tomorrow. So far, it's not been too bad, but still a long way to go in the recovery process.
Would spring of 2020 be when we see you again?
Probably.
Just kidding. Okay, I'm going to move really quick on a couple of notes, and then we'll get right into the fun with Scott Ramsey. Terry, tell me what you can about the story that got out today about the Titans and the addition to their facility.
Well, they are adding 60,000 feet to their building. It's already 75,000 square feet, and they're going to upgrade a lot of the auditorium, a lot of the meeting rooms and things like that, to because they really haven't, other than add a cafeteria and a TV studio and redo the locker room a few years ago, they really haven't done a whole lot to that facility, and it's been around for 20 years. So this will be a remodeling project that actually begins next week. And so there's the biggest bonus for everybody that goes out there and all. There's going to be a parking garage on site that will add 100 spaces so you don't have to park cars on top of each other and all over the place anymore.
That's needed. In case you have not heard, Ohio State has learned that their star defensive end, Chase Young, he gets a 2-game suspension. He's already sat out the Maryland game, and now he will sit out whoever it is they're playing this weekend, and I don't remember.
Rutgers.
How convenient. Maryland and Rutgers.
How about that? He missed some big opponents, didn't he?
Neither of whom will be playing in the Music City Bowl, we don't think.
No.
Do you want to book Rutgers over Ohio State?
No, I don't. Thank you, though. But I also wouldn't have booked.
That would be one that he might take.
But I also would not have booked Evansville over Kentucky last night, but I watched it. And I got to tell you, Walter McCarty, the former Kentucky Wildcat, played on their 96 national title team. He had them well prepared. Good for him. And he was very gracious after it was over. Instead of, you know, kind of cramming that down their throat, he thanked Calipari for playing his team and said, hey, look, they're going to be really good later, so don't jump off the ship yet. And one last note, Terry, this one for you. Carlos Beltran, the new Mets manager, is denying all this camera stuff that has gotten out about the Astros, says it didn't happen, and he should know he played for them 2 years ago.
Interesting. Deny.
Wow. It's not an impeachment hearing.
That's some sour grapes right there.
Wow.
You say?
Yeah.
Sour grapes on that one.
Yeah, I mean, you expect more of that from me, but not from Terry.
Not from a Yankees fan.
No. So,
well, I think we were in their path along the way, so I'm sure there was a camera or two aimed in our texture.
Wow. We're off and roaring, aren't we? So let's officially say hello to Scott Ramsey, Executive Director, Nashville Sports Council, and Music City Bowl. You're a busy man this time of year. How you doing?
Doing well. You know, it's the exciting time of year. It's a little nerve-wracking from our seat sometimes, but it's exciting. And certainly the momentum the city's been on for, you know, what we've done with sports over the last 20-plus years is really continuing the trajectory of just being very exciting, and we've really emerged as one of the great sports destinations in the country.
Tell people what running a bowl is like in November before you know.
Well, it's hard to kind of give you that 30-second soundbite a little bit, but in some days you feel like a lobbyist, you know, within the system. Some days you feel like, you know, the promoter, because you don't really know your matchup yet. And in some half of your head, you think, boy, I could catch a matchup that's not going to really resonate. And on the other side, you think, man, I could catch a lightning in a bottle matchup. So you're trying to kind of balance that. From an organizational standpoint, the staff is working on four or five different scenarios. You know, we really have a lot of operational details. We're closing four blocks of Broadway for 3 days and going to have a fan zone Saturday, Sunday, Monday leading into the game. Game's at 3:00. We have a post game concert back downtown. We've got, you know, I think 15 events around the bowl that we do. So the staff is kind of working on a lot of things. And then, you know, your team, and you got 2.5 weeks of turnaround behind the scenes, all the operational things from printing to conversion from SEC to Team A, you know, and the other side, and get all that stuff ready. You got Christmas in there, which makes it tough with vendors. And then the teams roll in, you got to be on your game. So it's a real compressed planning period. Certainly most of our sales activities happens in the spring and summer, but now we're really into the operational piece, and until you know your teams, you're kind of on edge a little bit.
Once teams are announced, is the whole Nashville is the it city making it easier to get the teams to get you 10 to 15,000 each?
I think last year was a great example, George. I mean, I think just look at Purdue. They haven't really been we're really in the upper echelon of bowls now. I mean, it's easy to say if you hadn't been here through the process, knowing where we started and moved our way up. But we're easily in the top 10 destination in college postseason football. I think right there with the Citrus and Alamo and us and probably the Outback as far as considered great. I think when the new Vegas stadium comes online, they're going to be somebody out west, but out of the New Year Six I'm talking about outside. So really, I think you look at last year, you know, you had Auburn coming off of two really tough losses to the rivals in Georgia, Alabama, and you had Purdue, who really hadn't been to a major game, and this was a great destination for them. We had 60,000 people. Granted, we didn't have a great game on the field, which is the first one in a long time, but from the event standpoint leading up to kickoff, it was as good as it could get, with activity and full hotel rooms and a full stadium, a lot of energy and a lot of excitement, and a lot of people hadn't been here in a long time. Last time we'd had Auburn was 03, so we had their fans back, and they don't play at Vanderbilt every year like right. Some of the East teams. So, you know, that I think that kind of crystallized it. Yeah, we're going to catch Notre Dame, LSU, and it was home run. Tennessee, Nebraska hadn't played forever, it was a home run. But I think when you see some of these the Nebraskas and those kind of folks that really turned out that hadn't been going to other cities, I think, and underscored Nashville's popularity.
I wanted to spend some of the first segment on the bowl and then get into your homework assignment later. So, Watson, you and Terry, you all knew that we wanted to get into a little bit of the bowl talk early and give people sort of a feel for what's going on. So, Watson, I'll turn it to you first for whatever you may have for Scott.
Scott, explain to the fans the process of how you get the teams. And are you working with both conferences? Go through and spend a little time on exactly how that all falls, because I've been in and out of bowls a lot, and you know, kids want to go to certain bowls and teams want to go to certain bowls, and do they have any say-so in that? I would think people would love to come to Nashville. Would be, I know the kids would, with all the different things that downtown that they get to do. So talk about that a little bit.
Right, so kind of a reset. We're in the sixth year of a six-year agreement. So when the college football playoff came out of the BCS and they created a 12-year agreement with the New Year's Six games and ESPN, the conferences then drilled down and did six-year agreements with everybody not into the CFP or New Year's Six. So we're in the sixth year of a six-year agreement. 6 years ago, we partnered with the Gator Bowl and pitched the ACC and the Big Ten to say, hey, we're getting into a time where – like the SEC went from a pecking order, draft order kind of concept where we really felt kind of landlocked. It was awful hard financially or anything to get ahead of Dallas, New Orleans, Atlanta, Orlando. And we were kind of locked into that selection order. Now it's flexible. We got a pool. We're all even on the business terms. And I'll walk into that in a minute. And we thought, hey, on the other side, we'd been with the ACC for 8 years. The Gator Bowl been with the Big Ten for 8 years. And we said, hey, if we could kind of mix and match these two, given that we've got a pretty equal opponent on the SEC side in both cities, we could really kind of jazz up and create some matchups and have more flexibility. The conference has bought in, so we're in the sixth year of that. Now, the intent was to do 3-3, which means we're probably the intent going to go ACC this year. But we kept the option that, hey, if we had some repeats or we had some teams that just didn't fit in certain situations, we could kind of check off that and go to the Big Ten this year. So with that kind of being the format, the process has gone from a pure bowl selection at a draft order kind of concept, which happened all the way up to 2014, to now a much more political lobbying kind of matchup-driven format with a lot of rules of thumb. Like, we're really all trying to avoid a 3 or 4 year repeat for teams. So if you've got a senior this year, they're not repeating a city or a bowl experience that they've already had in their career. Now, that's the ideal situation. We all know that certain years you just can't do it based on wins and losses. So these last few weeks of November for me is really just trying to work through that system. Ultimately, now the conferences are much more involved. And to your question, Watson, the ADs and the coaches do have some input on that to the commissioner, as well the bowls do. So whether it's the Outback Bowl or us or Gator or the Texas Bowl in Houston, we're kind of giving our preferences these last few weeks to the commissioner. And the AD, he's kind of bouncing off ADs. So some of it's matchup driven, some of it's geographical location, some of it's been where you've been and where you've played lately, including some regular season games. So I think it's been a system that has way valued and benefited Nashville more than the other cities. A little selfishly there, but I've got the data behind us. We've averaged over 5 million in viewership now. We've averaged over 57,000 in the stands, where everybody else is trending down. We're trending up. The popularity and the excitement of fan bases wanting to come here and the calls we get now are totally different than they were 15 years ago.
You know, that makes sense to me. The way this thing started is the way I understood it to be, and now the way you're saying they do it today, You got a much better chance of getting great matchups, sounds to me like, this way. And the other thing, Scott, to me, the way you explained that, both sides can get excited about it.
You can.
You're excited about who you get, and then the teams are excited to come here because you're given a chance to match up in a lot of different ways. I like that thought. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, conceptually, Watson, it has been a huge improvement. Now, does every year work out perfectly? No. And we knew that going in. And I don't think there's been a bowl in the country, including the Rose Bowl, that's just not ever missed on a matchup. It just didn't work out because of wins and losses. So, you know, occasionally, you know, you're going to fight through a year where you're going to be down a little bit on attendance or ratings and stuff. But the probability for us now in Nashville is extremely higher than it was in the old order, where we just waited on somebody to pick Georgia for the third time in a row right in front of us, or whatever the team was, right? And so now you've got much more weigh in. I think our city now can shine and compete. We felt like 5 or 6 years ago, if we could neutralize money we had a chance to beat other people head-to-head when we had the experience of Nashville and what we did for them when they got here.
Terry, go ahead. Go ahead, Watson.
One more, George, real quick. Does it matter? Does it help? Does it help you, Scott, if a closer team, an area team, is one of the members? Does it help if Tennessee's here, yeah, or Vanderbilt's here, or North Carolina, which is close, or
interesting, or that he would choose North Carolina?
Well, I'm not. Any of these? Does that help? Nashville is so nationally known now, yeah, across the whole country. How do you feel about that?
Well, I'm going to give you kind of the way we kind of typically look at it. I think we go at it with three main objectives, and we have since we started the game in 98. One, fill up the stadium. Two, can we fill up the hotel rooms and downtown and create the economic and the energy downtown during those days? And then lastly, can we really have a matchup that resonates the best we can? So I think the success, and I'm going to kind of compare us to the Peach Bowl of the 90s and early 2000s, where I think the regionality of the ACC, the Big Ten, and the SEC lends itself to a change in what we've seen in sports tourism, where it used to be, man, I wanted to hop on a plane and go to South Florida or Southern California or Texas or Phoenix and spend a week. Now they want to hop in a car, take a short flight, spend 3 days, have fun, which Nashville fits, and get back home in between Christmas and New Year's and not spend my weeks of vacation. We saw Atlanta really benefit off that, and that's kind of where we're fitting. And I think geographically we're able to put regional travel to a national matchup, if that makes sense.
Yep. Terry, I want you to hang tough during the break, and then you'll lead off when we come back. And then after your questions, we'll get into Scott's homework assignment.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah. Scott Ramsey, Executive Director, Nashville Sports Council and Music City Bowl, is with us in studio. We're going to get not only into Terry's stuff, but then a lot of the events that Scott has helped put together over the last 25 years. The homework assignment that I gave him was to list the five favorite events that he's ever done since he's been in Nashville. That's not an easy deal. You got a lot of things to consider. I can't wait to hear his list. Stay tuned from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. You're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio. I want you to listen really close to a message from the folks at ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kalutis. Your credit reports are your financial report card. A good credit report is necessary to get a mortgage, car loan, and credit cards. Even getting rental housing insurance or a job is dependent on your credit report. Here's what blows me away. 40 million consumers have an error on their credit report, and 2 million of those are so serious they're likely being overcharged for mortgages, credit card debts, auto loans, insurance policies, and other financial obligations. If you want to know more about your credit report, I want you to contact Bill Kalutis at ShieldLawGroup.com or call Bill at 615-742-8020. ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kalutis.
You wanted to see me?
Yes, please, have a seat. So here's the thing. When this company brought you on, we took a chance on you. You didn't have that 4-year college degree we typically look for.
Right.
But we gave you a shot anyway. And since then, you've worked incredibly hard and given it your all.
Thanks.
You've been an important asset to the team, but I don't think you can be an intern here anymore. We want to hire you.
You're serious?
Absolutely.
Find your next great employee. Introduce yourself to the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
I won't let you down.
I know.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Let's observe the inflatable noodle man. His constant undulating entices people to look at me, he's tireless and brainless, a literal airhead. Curiously, however, the inflatable noodle man, when hearing that Geico not only saves people money, but also has an award-winning app that makes it easy to manage one's policy, he knows you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Just ask an inflatable noodle man. Carefully, they are unpredictable creatures.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and Denny Hamlin takes home the win, his sixth of the season at Phoenix this past weekend, rocketing himself into the Final Four championship race at Homestead Miami Speedway this coming weekend. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday, the same place Denny does.
Hi, this is Denny Hamlin. I get my NASCAR news on The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
And like us at facebook.com/TheFinalLap. We'd appreciate it.
We welcome all of you back. This is going to be a fun hour. We're gonna go down memory lane some. We're also getting into a lot of the bowl stuff. Scott Ramsey, Executive Director, Nashville Sports Council and Music City Bowl, is with us in studio. And Terry, I know you've got a couple of bowl questions, and then we'll get into Scott's homework assignment.
All right. Scott, first of all, let's talk a little bit about the history of the game. You know, and one of the things that you guys do is the Battle of the Bands, the banquet, and those sorts of fun events that you do for the teams. When you guys were first putting this whole Music City Bowl together 20-plus years ago, where were some of the places you went to try and get the ideas to make this a unique event?
Well, good question, Terry.
Really good
question. I think in the early years, I think we were the 19th game, and so it was really kind of scouring in the best practices of the guy, my peers that would talk to me. I mean, it was pretty competitive back then when it was more of an open system rather than the conference affiliations. We went to the conference offices, who had the experience from some of the athletic directors. So as we built relationships, we kind of layered it in. But I think one of the threads that we've done since 25 years, since we've had really kind of our real focus on the arena and the stadium and all the growth, has been play off our Music City brand and play off Broadway. And we felt like our downtown is the center campus for our events, most of them. And so we knew from the beginning, to the Battle of the Bands, to however we could infuse live music, whether it was a sports event or an entertainment event, that was going to be something that was going to be our city's brand, and we certainly were going to infuse that. Secondly, some of the events you do for different groups. In other words, the luncheon with all the players, I know the players hate the chicken lunch sitting there with people and they have to talk to them. Hey, we were all there at age 20, However, that's one of the few events where I can really engage all of our local community, local sponsors, to be there with all the players. We do players only events. Now we started out with all kinds of events, from songwriting events to eating contests. Now we do, with Jeff Jarrett, we set up a rink and actually have a wrestling, event with just the players. We have military, we have, Wounded Warriors there, and they love it. Certainly we really have expanded our downtown use for fans with stage and a mini CMA fest set up on three blocks. We have live cooking. We have concerts. We have Battle of the Bands. So we've really kind of broken it apart. We take all the wives of all the coaches to the Bluebird one day for a lunch, which is unique to Nashville. We take the administrators to the stage of the Ryman with a songwriter. So we've really tried to make it a Nashville-centric trip that we've kind of learned over the years.
How much would you want to pursue a team that hasn't been here before? And I'm looking, I found at least one in each conference. I found Florida from the SEC,
Miami from the ACC and Indiana from the Big Ten that are probably all going bowling this year. How much would you like to bring at least one of those teams in if the opportunity afforded itself, just for the fact that none of those schools have played here yet?
I think that's a good question. I don't know if we put top priority on never played here, but I do think have they played here recently. And sometimes you just can't avoid it because of Vanderbilt having home games here, you know, during the time on the SEC side. But, yeah, on the SEC, we've not had Missouri, South Carolina, or Florida as the only three we haven't had in the game in 21 years. And to your point on the Big Ten, I think we saw between Nebraska, Northwestern, and Purdue the last 3 years, they have really responded well. So that's why we're excited. Starting next year, we will move up in the Big Ten process, peel away from the Gator, and be exclusively SEC Big Ten. And I'm pretty excited about that contract cycle, just kind of for what you said. Either they haven't played here in many years or they haven't played here at all. Usually is a good hook for us to bring a lot of folks to town.
And one last one from me, and this one's kind of out there because I don't think it would happen in a million years, but the bowl projection thing that everybody puts out, trying to, you know, point out who they think is going to which bowl with 3 weeks still left in the regular season. And one of them said that they had, I think, Liberty coming here because they didn't feel like the SEC would qualify enough teams for bowl eligibility. In the crazy scenario that a conference wasn't able to qualify enough teams for you to get one, what would be your contingency plan?
I tell you, Terry, I kind of stopped looking at those things. They're so inaccurate. I'm not sure where some of these guys come up with some of the stuff, but the question about not having a conference, Phil, I feel like we've gotten past that point, although, you know, you never know in today's world, especially with the unlimited number of teams that could play into the New Year's Six in certain years from a conference. It's no longer capped like it used to be. We did have that situation once in our history, and we were able, with a relationship that we're getting ready to start with the ACC, to fill with Virginia. We had Minnesota, Virginia that year, which we struggled in the stands, which we knew we would without an SEC team, but we had a really great game on the field that year. With some NFL players, so I think you go to your list of relationships. ESPN can help to some degree because they've got a lot of contracts with conferences, and then you just go out in the national marketplace and try to do the best you can. But hopefully, we're past that point in the life of the bowl where I don't have to lose some sleep over that one.
So Scott, when I think back, you've been around this now in Nashville for 25 years. I go a little bit farther back just because the first show that I did was back in 1989. Did you see it getting to this level of sports crazy that we're now in when you first came to town?
I don't think we ever really had a great vision for 25 years to where we are now. But I think one of the things that has been a building block for us that we've never moved away from is the collaboration that we have in this city is better than
anybody else's.
Vast majority of every other city. When I talk about that, I mean coordination from the public sector. You need public works, you need police, you need fire, you need support from the mayor's office, the city council, the staff. And then you've got to have two professional teams that manage the facilities willing to bid on and do events and move their schedules around to accommodate, a la SEC basketball in the middle of March, which for the Preds for now 18 more years. Secondly, the hospitality industry bought in. And then third, I think the strength of our volunteers and corporate community as it's grown has understood the importance of that event and funding those activities, even though they may not have their name associated with certain events because of rights. So I think the collaboration that we've been able to kind of pull together as a city has really set us apart, and I think that's been a foundational success point. Now, I don't think we could have ever foreseen the economic development of downtown. I mean, you remember what it was like south of Broadway when the arena opened in 97. You didn't really want it. You didn't want to go out that south entrance too much in the arena. Now it's unbelievable. So certainly sports has played a big part as kind of an engine a little bit for a lot of activity, especially in the non-tourism peak times. But I mean, it's certainly just been something we've just continued to you know, you hear coaches say, and I'm sure Watson said a lot, is just play the game that's in front of you. And I felt like we kept doing that. You know, I think when you look at it in a 20-year picture, we had 4, 5, 6 years where we wanted any event we could just to prove our reputation that we could host an event. Then you had to wait for the next bid cycles. So we had some gaps in there because we couldn't bid on an event for another, you know, we could bid on it, but it wouldn't come in 4 years. So we had to try to fill it. By the time we got through the second times of hosting things, we really started kind of, you know, filling our stride. The city was getting better, and now we're able to be a lot more strategic and go after certain events. And no events want to come here. So it's really kind of flipped a little bit in that over 20 years.
When did you start to sense, we're not having to sell anymore, people want to come here? When did that start? When did you start to feel that?
Well, I would say somewhere in the 2014 to 2016 period, because several things kind of happened through there. One, the Women's Final Four was our first national championship event, so to speak, and we did it in a way that other people hadn't done it, with outside, with engagement of downtown and using certain venues. Yeah, you could play 3 basketball games and we filled it up, but we did stuff with schools and kids, and we engaged the community in ways that other cities hadn't done, and we kind of set a new standard. Later that year, the new selection process that we just talked about with Watson, with LSU Notre Dame, changed the trajectory of our game, because we said, hey, if we could be even with some of these other cities, we can attract some matchups we hadn't been able to get to. So Notre Dame LSU comes down to last second field goal, full stadium, great rate, you know, kind of launched that. And then a couple years later, the NHL All-Star Weekend really changed what that event was, and Nashville was kind of seen as a real game changer there by using the downtown Winter Park. We had an outdoor concerts, and we had a rink, and we used music, and we had star. I mean, we totally changed the model of going to a skills contest and a game to an event. And
the league basically used Nashville as, here is the blueprint.
Yeah.
Now everybody go do it.
Yeah. So anyway, over that 2-year period, those three things I thought were real momentum changers, and then certainly the explosion of downtown. I mean, the growth corporately and the hotels and Nashville Yards coming on, Fifth and Broad coming on, and then the success of the Predators kind of laid on top of that Stanley Cup run. You know, we've had some unbelievable soccer events now and the MLS expansion bid. So, you know, again, it keeps kind of layering on, and we're able really to sit down and really be very strategic about some of the things we're going after now.
So I asked you to put down on paper as you got here, for you, the 5 favorite events that you have helped put on as the guy leading the sports council, and you've cheated.
I did.
Yeah, that's bad. You didn't look at my paper. It wasn't that kind of cheating.
No.
You just took the rules.
I couldn't limit it to 5.
You pulled the University of Memphis and just made up your own rules.
So, well, I'm appealing the process, yeah, so I can go on my own rules until you deny the appeal.
Am I going to be surprised by these 5?
Probably not.
Okay.
You might be surprised about why on the few of them.
Let's hear.
Well, first, we just announced that we're hosting the 2022 U.S. Figure Skating Championships, which will select the Olympic team and the premier sport in the Olympics, and Scott Hamilton's part of it. So I'm going to go back to the very first sporting event in the arena, the 97 U.S. It brought me here. Jenny Hanna made a call in 95. My family and I, we took a flyer to come down, and things exploded in the late 90s, obviously, with the expansion bid for NHL and the relocation efforts for the Titans Oilers. But that first event, filling up the stadium in a non-traditional venue, non-traditional sport in Nashville, 3 weeks, it was almost a 2.5-week event, hundreds of volunteers. We had never done anything of that magnitude. It's got to be there because it was the first and widely successful. You know, I mentioned a couple. You know, the LSU-Notre Dame, because of the change in the selection process, we went from picking 5th and 6th everywhere you know, of hoping a team fell to us to being able to compete with everybody. And we put a matchup out there that was nationally, you know, excitable in Notre Dame LSU, and it came down a close game. So from the bowl, I'm going to circle that one.
Okay.
I talked about the NHL All-Star Weekend. That was a game changer for a lot of reasons. And again, Nashville did it Nashville's way that people are trying to emulate now. I don't think we're ever going to look back and not think the NFL draft last spring wasn't off the charts in every way you talk about it, from execution to security to entertainment to volunteers to everything. It'll certainly be one of those iconic events, I think, historically in our city. But again, I think our first national championship, getting the women's Final Four and filling it up, obviously it was toward the end of Pat Summitt's run, and we were hopeful that we could kind of have that component. We didn't, but we still filled it up. And, you know, I think that first national championship event there. And then I don't really have a year for the SEC basketball tournament, but when we made an announcement to extend, we will have that tournament through 2035, and all the things that went in to get that done for a 20-year run that's never been done in the country with that kind of event in a city that long of a contract period, I think that really underscored the confidence that those making decisions have in Nashville to host their tournament when you're going to commit something for 20 years. So that's my list. I think that was six.
It's a good list.
You know, but
didn't follow the rules, but it was a terrific list.
It was close. Yeah. You know, it was a rounding error.
Let me ask you this. What would be your most favorite kind of off the wall one that none of us know anything about?
Good question.
You want a commercial break to think about?
Yeah,
it?
I want a commercial break.
Okay, let's do that.
Is it a 20 or a full?
No, it's a full. It's a full timeout. So to Watson and Terry, you guys kind of get back into the conversation when we come out of the break. 2:40 is the time. You're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
I want you to listen really close to a message from the folks at ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kalutis. Your credit reports are your financial report card. A good credit report is necessary to get a mortgage, car loan, and credit cards. Even getting rental housing insurance or a job is dependent on your credit report. Here's what blows me away. 40 million consumers have an error on their credit report, and 2 million of those are so serious they're likely being overcharged for mortgages, credit card debts, auto loans, insurance policies, and other financial obligations. If you want to know more about your credit report, I want you to contact Bill Kalutis at ShieldLawGroup.com or call Bill at 615-742-8020. ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kalutis.
Okay, let's say your business does $5,000, $20,000, $100,000 or more in monthly revenue. There are probably times when you need more cash flow to run your business, right? Right. If you're a business owner in this situation, you need to call the Merchant Cash Advance Line right now. We're not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We're a direct lender with the power to approve deals. We look at your business and we decide how much money to lend you, good credit or bad credit. If your business is solid, we can lend you up to $500,000. You can use the money for anything you think is right to run your business. If you need money and you don't want to deal with a bank, call now. Learn how easy it is to get up to $500,000 in as little as 2 to 3 days.
Call now. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. That's 800-452-4846.
Hey, this is George Plaster. I don't pretend to know everything about printing, but my buddy and former BGA classmate James Warren does, and he should. He's the owner of Sir Speedy Music City. Let's talk a little bit about mailing, because that's important.
It is, George. So a lot of people
use mailing to get in front of customers. Direct mail, we've got at the end of the year, there's always the big mailers that go out for insurance companies and that sort of things. But we see that mail helps people get in front of their audience. You'd be surprised at how many people actually open an envelope or look at a postcard when it comes to their house. And we can do it cheaper than you can mail it.
And you can do it well. Give people the particulars, phone number, website.
We're at 615-832-9511. Our website is SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. You can reach us at print at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
And as always, when you go in there, you tell them Plaz sent you.
In the heart of downtown Nashville, the Southern Steak and Oyster is a unique and animated eatery that offers an authentically Southern adventure with a twist. Whether it be breakfast, lunch, dinner, weekend brunch, the Southern Steak and Oyster has a variety of dining experiences. Visit thesouthernnashville.com to peruse menus, make reservations, purchase unique products, or book business and private parties. Located at 153rd Avenue South, the Southern Steak and Oyster offers free valet or validated self-parking. Give the Southern Steak and Oyster a call, 615-724-1762, or visit thesouthernnashville.com.
All the reminiscing that has gone on during this break that will not be repeated on the air.
No, I don't. I'm not going to repeat it.
No, and I appreciate that. Scott Ramsey is the executive director of the Nashville Sports Council and the Music City Bowl. And I asked him as kind of a little bit of a homework assignment to give me the five most favorite events that he's helped put on as the guy leading the Sports Council. And then after he gave us those five, I said, give me one. Think about one that's kind of off the wall that none of us would think about that you really enjoyed doing. What was that?
I'm going to cheat again.
Really?
Yeah.
More than one?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got more than one. As you know, I play a lot of golf. I love golf. Played golf in college. So there's really two events there. We had a college golf event, ACC-SEC, at the golf club, and it was under the radar. But the college coaches, and we had national champions. We've got pro tour players playing in it. And it was a competitive of the conference-on-conference thing that we created in Nashville, and we had a great three-year run. And the college coaches still to this day call and want us to recreate it. And it was a really fun, couple days of competitive high level. I mean, we all know how good Vanderbilt is right now, but I mean, it was six teams on each side and they were all in the top 20. And it was, as a golfer, that was a really fun event to run. And I'm going to follow that up with last year we had the U.S. Women's Golf Amateur Championship, and to see worldwide participation in our city at a national championship was really cool. Fox did it. So I'm going to kind of bundle my golf ones. But then the other one goes back to national championship. And in 2004, we had the U.S. Gymnastics Championships in the arena. We had both Olympic gold medalists that won national champions that went on to win the Olympics in Athens, Greece later that summer. And we were kind of the selection, just like we will be for figure skating. And there's something about a national championship event, no matter what sport it is, that when you're there and you really feel the intensity and the success of somebody winning a national championship at any sport, it is really cool to post.
Oh, yeah.
And so
yeah.
I'm going to kind of throw those in there because of that label.
I knew we would have a fun hour, and so far we really have. Watson, Terry, you guys kind of jump in with wherever you want to take this.
Scott, real quick, of these five you named, I'm going to talk about two of them or get you two real quick and then let Terry have it. I know as a coach you say we treat every game the same and blah, 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 blah. But you had to get really excited to get LSU, the LSU Notre Dame game. That had to really excite you to get that. I know what it means to on the other end of these bowls and how these bowls want the national names. And immediately after you get that, if you do a great job with them, you're on your way. Talk a little bit about that and when it happened.
Well, I mean, and it was also timing, Watson. Again, it was the first year of the CFP, and it was the first year that, you know, internally anyway, I'd really been saying, I just know we can compete with Tampa and Jacksonville and Texas and all these places if I wasn't picking, you know, six behind them. And I knew Nashville could attract.
And we were never able to get a bite of Notre Dame or LSU in the old process. So, you know, at that first year coming out and hoping that that process would deliver like it has, and to come out of the gate with that, just magnified the importance of launching the bowl. Really, I don't say that just because we're in Nashville, but we're really perceived as a top 10 destination right now, both from ESPN nationally and the conferences. And that was really a turning point. You know, I think, you know, from your programs, you probably have those one or two teams that really kind of were watershed kind of years, and that one was it. And then the game delivered, the last second field goal to win. I mean, you know, and Leonard Fournette broke every record known to man, and they still didn't win the game. So,
yeah. And then the second thing for me is the NFL draft. When you got your hands on that, I would think of any of these that you got really excited because, and you guys did an unbelievable. I mean, you did things nobody else had done. So credit to you to get creative the way you did, but the excitement that you guys had to feel when that took place, and I'll never forget. Scott, when they'd show those shots of down Broadway and all those people, and I mean, they're not just standing there, they're having a blast now. And to me, that's just iconic. That one may stick with me as much as anything through all the years here. Talk a little bit about that and when you got it, how excited you were, and then the creative things you came up with. How long did it take you? Had you already had some of this in place? Talk a little bit about that real quick.
Well, I think the answer of the how we did it went back to what I said about collaborative. I would say that, you know, that was a different kind of attraction. I think, you know, and I'll give you kind of the overview. Like when we did the NHL All-Star game, the NHL awarded the All-Star weekend to the Predators, and the Predators and Sean and at the time Jeff Kogan all of us sat down and we said, okay, we just don't want to do three games in here, you know, skills and whatever. Let's make it an event. Okay, it's late January, tough time of year for us to do it. And we put together an all-star, no pun intended, committee from the Sarah Treherne to the CAAs to the William Morris, and we blew it out of the park creating that downtown concept. Well, and we have the CMA Fest every year. We had the July 4th, we had New Year's Eve, we had the bowl game, we had all these things. And so the NFL, rather than awarding it, the Titans awards it to, you know, technically the contract to a governmental agency. You know, they want to get paid. And so they weren't going to put the pressure on the Titans. But so really the CVB and Butch kind of took a little bit of the lead because we were going through a mayoral transition during that time. And so the NFL has their preset ways of doing it. Now, the challenge for us was it was the same week as our marathon, half marathon. And so the finish line area at the stadium and the start line on Broadway on Saturday morning in the middle of all that, you know, there was pros and cons. Operationally, it was a challenge. And a pro was we got all these people coming. Why not? What's another 30 or 50,000? So, I mean, so the operational piece at the stadium really crunched the finish line. But all the experiences that the people had to come for the marathon, you know, enjoyed, you know, the NFL experience over there, which is free and downtown. So I think it was a collaboration of what we've been doing and the best of. But then the NFL really kind of drives it. In today's world, it's driven by security. You know, and it took a month to really get all that set up, secure plans from Homeland to local. Our police did an unbelievable job. And then really our city really responded. So, you know, I think it's a collaboration. That one was a little bit different than the Preds, but I think we all work together so well and we take our roles and, you know, I think it shows in the end of how people experience our events.
Terry?
Scott, we'll stick with the NFL draft theme, for this first question. Knowing how successful and, you know, what an enormous crowd turned out for the NFL draft, do you fully expect Nashville to become part of a rotation once the league is ready to go that route in terms of awarding the draft each year?
Oh, you know, I certainly would think, and I don't have facts on this, but I would think the NFL would like to see a rotation on that. I would say after a year that we've just had the strain that it puts on your downtown infrastructure from you know, residential to businesses to security to police to, you know, trash pickup to deliveries. Man, you need a little bit of a breather, you know, after that, because that is a huge strain on top of our annual event. So I don't know how much longer, but I would suspect down the road we'll be back in the discussion on it. You know, I think when you look at it, some of the elements we're trying to pull from is for the SEC Football Media Days, which we have coming in summer of 21 at the new Nashville Yards Grand Hyatt, that we're trying to figure out a way to reinvent that event a little bit if we can get the buy-in from the SEC and do some fan activations that they currently don't do. I know you guys have been to all those, and you go into the ballroom, and you listen to the coaches, and they walk around and do their thing. So we're trying to figure out a Nashville influence on that event when we host it in 2 years in 21. So, you know, I think, again, we're trying to take all these elements and apply some of the ones that can fit with certain other events and do it, you know, in a unique way.
You know, Nashville, obviously with the SEC basketball tournament, the contract there, and, of course, the city's also hosted a number of NCAA regionals, you know, in terms of both men and women's side. Do you have a preference one way or the other when it comes to NCAA regionals? Are the first rounds where there's a lot of upsets and knockout games and things like that you know, come to pass on that first Thursday and Friday of the tournament, is that the preference, or do you like the second, the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight type games where somebody can cut down the nets and go to the Final Four once it's all said and done?
Well, I think there's a couple things to throw in there, Terry, on that question. I think when we struck the long-term deal with the SEC, where they're here every year in the middle of March, I think we're going to be a little more limited. I'm not going to say eliminated, because the Preds are incredible about figuring out ways to maximize use of that facility. But that's a big ask for them to go on the road for 7 days in the last 3 weeks of the season every year. So to come back the next weekend and kick out another weekend and basically take 12 or 13 days out of 15 is going to be a tougher fit on a more regular basis, like what we had when we had the SEC tournament on occasion, and then the SEC or the NCAA or whatever. I think that's also going to make it a challenge for like the Women's Final Four or Frozen Four or something like that that happens in early April, where it's another 8 days in the arena. So when you start taking the arena offline that much, it really, really creates. So we felt like a bird in the hand kind of concept. If we get the SEC locked in, home run event, you're filling the stadium for 5 days, incredible media. Sure. You know, that was one to play versus bidding on everything where you could win or lose on occasion. But to answer your question, I thought we always felt like the first and second rounds brought eight teams, eight fan bases, incredible excitement. Everybody takes off Thursday and Friday. It's the most fun weekend in March. If you went to the next weekend, you're sure hoping that the right teams win, because then you go from having, I shouldn't know how many games with eight. Well, we have like three sessions of six games, three sessions to three games. So, you know, your number of games, your usage of the stadium, your costs are the same. Certainly it's a higher profile weekend, but we felt like it was maybe a little bit better business weekend on the first and second rounds, to be honest with you.
Okay. One last one here from me. You know, there's a group that's making an effort to bring Major League Baseball into Nashville. And, you know, obviously that's a long-range option and long-range possibility. But have you had any conversations with those folks since they've been assistance could you potentially provide them?
Well, I think the Sports Council has always we've been kind of true to who we are. I mean, we're really the engine, hopefully, that can package and coordinate bids to bring events here. At the current stage of where baseball is, I think it's in much more of the ownership political environment that we could maybe be a good cheerleader and support, and we'll support where we can. That was the same process we did with John Ingram and MLS. And the relocation Oilers and things like that. At the right time, I think we can help at the grassroots level. I'm not sure we're the type of organization to go out and find them the right ownership group or put together the package and negotiate with the mayor. So I think at that point, you know, I also think politically we got to look at the next 10 to 15 years. You know, you do have the Titans lease coming up in 8 or 9 years. There's a lot of talk about renovations or what you do with Nissan Stadium. How will that factor into any investment the city would have in a new baseball-only park? So, you know, I think there's a lot of mayor ownership decisions to be made before somebody like us can come in and say, hey, if we have that stadium, we can help. We can help, you know, fill all your non-regular season dates with some events, which is what we're doing with soccer right now.
Scott, I knew when we if we got you in here, this would be an incredibly quick hour. It feels like it's gone about 12 minutes, and I look at the clock, and the hour's basically done. When you hear the music, you'll know we got to move fairly quick. But give me an event maybe you're bidding on or would like to bid on that we've never done before that you'd like to see here.
Well, the event we'd like to see here is WrestleMania. And everybody's going to laugh and roll your eyes a little bit. I just saw something today where it was $180 million in expenditures in Orlando and 55,000 hotel room nights expected in Tampa.
Isn't that amazing?
It uses the stadium for one night where the infrastructure, three nights sold out in the arena. They use the entire convention center. And be able to line up all of our resources to be able to bid on it is a challenge right now because you need massive hotel nights. You need the convention center. You need all the facilities lined up. It's a quasi sport, but I mean, you
but
talk
you'd
about
love
an
to
event,
try it. You'd love to do it.
It would be it would blow people away.
Wow, what timing there! The music hit.
Is
right
this
on
when
it?
I'm supposed to be here or supposed to leave?
You know, it depends on whose Twitter account you read. For those of you who have read my Twitter, I screwed up. Scott was accurate. I was not. That's all I can tell you. Thank you for coming in here. Let's
hey, this
do this
fun.
Again
Absolutely.
after the teams get announced.
You got it.
Scott Ramsey, Executive Director of the Nashville Sports Council and Music City Bowl in our studio. Chris Lee, Vandy Sports in the On Deck Circle.